The opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily represent the views of the Phoenix Foundation, its sponsors, or affiliates. Welcome to our SquawkCast. This podcast is about homeschooling in the province of Alberta. We encourage you to grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and relax for a few minutes. And now, here are your hosts, Diana Stinn and Jill Mann.
This is Diana Stinn
and Jill Mann.
Welcome to our SquawkCast! This is episode number 46, and today's date is May 13th. So today we have a special guest.
Yes, we do. And we did not drag him in off the streets. He's actually like a real-life person and has a purpose to be here.
You have purpose. That's Introduce great. Yourself.
My name's Bob McInnes. I'm a father of four, grandfather of 11, a troublemaker from a long ways back, and someone who is fascinated by the amazing work that Phoenix Foundation is doing.
Bob is a facilitator, a coach, a dementor. I don't know, all kinds of things. He seems to show up everywhere.
I know. I like it.
Well, welcome, Bob, and we're glad you could join us today. And we promise we will edit out any parts that make you look strange or unusual.
Great.
She manages to edit out my more less intelligent statements.
Mostly.
Mostly. Sometimes she leaves them in there for a surprise for me.
So today, Jill, we're going to be doing some wing feathers, some nest news, what's hatching. A glance back through the tail feathers. We'll talk about who has flown the coop. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to take people under our wing and talk a little bit about raising resilient children. Are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
Yoo-hoo! Here we go. Okay, so can you dish some wing feathers there, Jill?
I can. First of all, we had a lovely surprise visit from Trish Kahn, who is one of our very first families from way, way, way back in the day. And she and her family has moved on to PEI, but she came in and gave us some surprise coffee and hot chocolate and hugs and love.
And I think she brought toilet paper.
She did first, and then I told her, we don't use that toilet paper anymore, so she took it back and went and came back with coffee and chocolate.
Yay!
I know!
Well, Trish has been a longtime supporter and fan, and she listens to this podcast faithfully.
She does. Hi, Trish!
And we got a donation this week.
We did, from the Sabad family.
Yeah, so they wrote us a very nice check. We appreciate it immensely.
Yep.
But for helping their family out in a time of need and crisis.
Yep.
And they also wrote a lovely letter to Alberta Education.
I know. They were one of our rescue families. And we're definitely needing rescue. So it was so nice that they appreciated what we were able to do for them.
Absolutely. So thank you very much for helping to make Phoenix a better place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's move on to some nest news. We have exciting nest news.
Hold on to your hats. All the new toilets are in.
Woo-hoo!
Our water usage has now returned back to a more normal state, because it had been in a terribly frightening state due to leakage. So everybody, check your toilets at home. If you have a slow leak, be aware, it makes a big difference on your bill. And what's more, it drives you insane listening to them.
Hey, did you see the graffiti outside, Bob?
I didn't. What graffiti am I missing?
We got hit again.
Yeah.
Two walls, parking lot side and back of the building side. And so our graffiti
cleanup team
should be here, I hope, soon and paint that out. We've had a real problem this year. In the past, I think we've only been hit like maybe once a year kind of thing, but we've had enough that, we've hired some people to look into it. We are still kind of seeing what we think of that and how that rolls out.
So why do you think people do graffiti?
I think that it's something missing in their lives. They're looking for attention. They don't have the security that they need to be fully developed. Mm-hmm. And that this is just a way of saying, look at me. I think we all have ways of saying, look at me, look at me. And this is their way.
Is that why you wear Hawaiian shirts?
It's why I usually wear colorful shirts and colorful socks. And I've been shaving my head for 20 years. And it's all about look at me. Yeah.
And Jill, what do you do that's look at me?
Oh, I love a rainbow of hair colors periodically. I like colorful shoes. Today I have leopard print. And I paint pictures.
And I bought red glasses this time around. I had to have red ones this time around.
Yes.
Next time I'm going to add a purple hat.
I think you should. I really think you should. But I would like to say, as far as the graffiti goes, I was disappointed in this sampling.
Yes, it was very poor quality.
It's really poor quality. There was at one point early in the year, one of the graffiti, we got hit, like I say, really often. But there was one that if I could have figured out who they were, I might have offered them a job because they did really good work. And it's really hard to do good work with a spray bomb. So if you're going to be an obnoxious graffiti artist, please step up your games.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what's hatching. So, Bob, you got a tour of the Creation Studio this morning. What did you think of our new theme, circus?
It took me back to my childhood and going to the old barn in Regina, and the North American show circus would come to town once a year. And it felt like I had gone back in my mind and found a bit of that excitement of my childhood. So I think it's amazing. I think it's equally amazing how you utilize and reutilize and reutilize all of the set
he's captured our cheapness.
All of the set pieces and the theatrics of it. I said this to you when we were touring, that the language that you use and what you create is really the language and creation of theater back there. And so I would, anyone who is at all interested listening should stop by for a tour and see this amazing circus that's taking place in the back.
Well, the kids do love it, and they enjoy learning, and it is one of our signature kinds of things that we've created is in-the-scene learning.
Yeah.
So definitely in the scene.
You're definitely in the scene. But, you know, one of the things we've seen is it keeps kids interested and excited to come back and back and back and back and back more and more, and it keeps our instructors stimulated and excited of how they're going to use their area. And, you know, what ideas they might have. And, oh, I want this spot.
And they're going to learn all kinds of interesting things.
They are.
So Jill and I make up all the titling and the classes, and then they curse us afterwards.
Mm. Yeah, and they'll ask us, what were you thinking when you wrote this? And it's like, I don't know. It was probably getting really late, and we weren't thinking anymore, and it just sounded good at the time. We're sorry.
When you start drinking wine at 8:30 in the morning.
Well, again, oh, no. Well, that's the Baileys. Come on.
So we're going to wrap up this year's theme with a feast.
Yep.
And that will be on June the 12th at noon. And so we will have our circus feast. And it's always very exciting. This menu is going to be super exciting. It is hot dogs and corn on the cob and lemonade and French fries. A really good nutritious lunch.
Cotton candy.
Cotton candy. We got cotton candy. Yes, sir. So all kinds of great stuff. And then at 1:30, 1 o'clock, 1:30, the kids will move outside and into the games activity area. And then we have our year-end ceremony. So we very quickly tear down the Creation Studio and make space. And then we do our year-end ceremony. And our little kinder babies are going to do a sign language song again this year. We'll be acknowledging our grads. We have two. Wow.
We have two this year?
Wow. We have two. Woohoo! And our special awards. Uh-huh. So the Venley Kahn Literacy Award, which was started by Trish Kahn and her family.
Yep.
And then we have the Michael Battis Environmental Stewardship Award, started by one of our students when he was...
Oh, knee high to a grasshopper.
Yeah. And then we have the Random Act of Kindness Award.
Yep. So if you have any kids you want to nominate, please come get the form and feel free to throw their name in the hat.
Yeah, there you go. We also acknowledge our sponsors, our donors, our staff, our board, dementors like Bob, you know, all that kind of stuff.
All of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a good event. Please make sure that you register for that. The feast is $10 per person, but the year-end ceremony is free.
Yep. That's it.
There you go. And Jill, we're having some free, fun, and fantastic events in the summertime.
We are. We are. Okay.
So Bob, we challenge you to a pot of chili. Jill won last year.
I did.
What's the secret, Jill?
I'm not telling. I'm competing again this year.
The prize is a $50 gift certificate to Chili's.
Wow.
And last year we also had a beautiful cookbook to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
It will be during the Stampede this time around. So it'll be our Stampede Chili Cook-Off.
Yep. And we've already thrown down a few challenges. So experience martial arts, you, Cornerstone. So yeah, pretty much anybody we see it comes through our door, we challenge.
Do you hereby accept the challenge?
I do.
All right. Woohoo!
We will make sure you have a table with your name on it.
So it's free. Come taste a bunch of chilies and put your vote in for the best, and maybe Bob will win.
Maybe.
Okay, so chili, and then what's next?
Tutti Frutti.
Woohoo! Woohoo!
We get to sample all kinds of summer fruits.
Right. So we will have peaches and plums and cherries and whatever kind of summer fruit is available.
Yeah. I see also that there could be a pie eating contest.
There could be.
I'm bringing my son.
When is the Tutti Frutti?
That is July 22nd at noon.
Yay.
And then we will move on to ice cream. So August 12th, we will have ice cream for ice cream, and you will get a chance to make some ice cream and sample all kinds of wonderful summer flavors.
I'm in.
Yeah. And then August 19th, we have our watermelon crawl.
That was a riot last year.
And one of our friends of Phoenix donated miles and miles of bubble wrap.
Don't know. I might really want that in the back. I've had my eye on that.
But the kids love it. They roll on it. They stomp on it. They spend hours playing with bubble wrap. It's fabulous.
But I love it.
Well, okay. You can have some.
Okay.
And then last but not least, on August the 26th, we have our end of summer barbecue. So we'll be doing burgers.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
Larry Leach, one of our board members, loves to flip burgers.
He will stand there and flip burgers till the cows come home. It's great. It's like suddenly he shows up and we need not worry about tending that at all anymore.
And all these events all summer are free?
They're all free.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah. We do them out on the front lawn, and we drag out some of our props from the creation studio, and people honk and wave, and the bus drivers honk and wave. It's great. It's good exposure.
Awesome. It is fun. And we got the construction guys from across the street coming over for, I think it was the watermelon day. It was a really hot day, so we gave them watermelon, too.
There you go. So everybody is invited to participate, and if you want more information, please make sure you see our website at phoenixfoundation.ca.
Yep.
Okay, let's keep moving. We got lots to discuss. Next but not last, we have butterflies. Did I say that funny? I often mix my
letters. Next but not last.
I know. Well, what can I say? Butterflies are next.
That's true.
So if you purchased butterflies, they are now in.
Yes. Please come and get them.
Yes, we have lots of tiny little squirming critters who need a good home.
And we still have some for sale as well. We had said before that we were sold out, but we got some extras. So if you missed out on pre-ordering your butterflies, please let us know, because we have some poor little orphan butterflies that need homes.
And what would it cost me to take home some orphan butterflies today?
Well, for you, nothing, because you're special.
Yes. But for anyone else who's not quite as special as Bob, how much will they cost?
It is $5 for a cup of butterflies.
And there are two butterflies in a cup.
Right.
And they are squirmy and active.
They are.
Yes.
Well, they're not quite butterflies yet. They're larvae.
They're larvae.
And then they go through their transition and they go from little tiny specks of
squirminess.
Yeah, in a cup to becoming very fat, large, hairy caterpillars.
Well, they're not super really hairy.
No.
They're kind of weird, but they're really fun to watch, and we've done it for a million years. And like I say, we flicked and separated all those bugs yesterday into their little cups. So,
and our two little practicum students had just the time of their life.
They laughed and laughed. I'll tell you, it's like... Yeah.
They all went home and told their families, guess what I did at work today? So if you need a butterfly or two, please come and see us.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to the next section, which is a glance back through the tail feathers.
Okay.
So we had an election recently.
Yes, we did.
What do you think about that, Bob?
I think that the people of the province have spoken, and I'm looking forward to a change and being optimistic that it will be the change that we all expected.
Yeah, it certainly is a change. It was certainly unexpected. Mm-hmm. And I think the public has indeed spoken. We are a little bit concerned because NDP traditionally does not favor private education. However, we have decided to wait and see because Alberta is different.
It is different, you know, and you know, as As homeschoolers, we've all seen that sometimes unexpected happenings are actually okay, and they work out in the end. So that's going to be my frame of mind on it.
Right.
You know, like I say, we'll see how it all goes. I think all the parties are going to learn something new.
What would you recommend, Bob, for nonprofit organizations and how they should interact with our current government?
I think first they should do some self-reflection. I think it's an opportunity for us to enter a new relationship. You know, you think about personal relationships that you've been in a long time, 44 years, you start to take things for granted. And I think this is a chance for us to, as a sector, think about what it is that we're doing and how we're impacting the people that we work with. And are we creating any side effects that we're not aware of? So I think there's a time for us to pause and reflect on ourselves. And then, again, create what I would say is a reasonable case for the government to support, if you need government support, for the government to support the work that you're doing. I think we have reasonable, I think reasonableness is one of the characteristics of Albertans, that we step forward and support those things that are not unreasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that would be the advice I'd give.
Okay, I think that is sound advice,
mm-hmm.
and we look forward to seeing what our new government does. Okay, let's move on to Flown the Coop.
Yep.
So we have someone who is leaving us.
Well, yes, us in even the broader sense of even beyond just us, Phoenix.
Right.
Yeah.
So Sharon Rhodes, our zone manager from Alberta Education, has accepted a new position mm-hmm. as a principal in Airdrie with the Rocky View School Division. So mm-hmm. we are going to miss Sharon tremendously.
Yep, we are. We had lunch with her yesterday.
Yes.
We started missing her yesterday.
We are very pleased for her, and we know that she will do very good work and take the knowledge and the skills that she gained at Alberta Education and use that for the benefit of kids.
And she seems really excited.
Yes, she is.
Yeah, so it's good.
It is good.
Yeah.
Hey, let's take a moment and take our folks under our wing. So on this one, we are talking about building resilient kids.
Oh, right.
And there are some experts, I hear, coming to Calgary.
Really? I don't think so. I think you're wrong.
I think they fake it.
I saw some promotional material that said experts in raising resilient kids, and I was interested in meeting these people.
Yeah, me too.
Can hardly wait.
Apparently, Barry and I are giving a workshop this evening. So that's Barry Davidson, our board chair, and myself, Diana Stinn. And we are giving a workshop this evening through IDI, which is the Intercultural Dialogue Institute. I think I've gotten it right. So we will be talking about a mother's role in raising resilient children. There's a couple of things there. One of the things is, first of all, I think a mother's role has changed over the years.
Oh, I think so, most definitely. And I think a mother's role changes quite a bit depending on the ages and stages of our kids.
Mm-hmm. And then secondly, is talking about resilience. What is resilience? So, Bob, what does resilience mean to you?
For me, it is creating circumstances and skills that allow you to cope when the path that you're on changes.
Mm-hmm.
So in moments of change, usually in moments of struggle, but also I think resilience shows up in moments of celebration too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it is the learning the skills and the circumstances needed to cope in those moments.
Mm-hmm. And Jill, what does resilience mean to you?
Just roll with it, man. You know, sometimes it is. It's knowing when to stand firm, but it's also knowing when, you know, when that's not a field of battle to die on. You know, to, you know, put your energies where they're best served and not cry too hard when one of your butterflies dies.
I would agree. So I think resilience to us tonight and around our talk is going to be teaching kids how to cope with circumstances. It is interesting. There was a survey, a brilliant survey, an ongoing project that has had children from 1938 complete the same test up until 2007. And then the researchers took that information, took out changes in race, changes in education, and tried to standardize everything. And from the test, they discovered that children today are 5 times more anxious than they were in 1938.
Wow.
And you think about that, kids in 1938 at that point and through that period went through the Great Depression and the remains of the Great Depression, mm-hmm. Where unemployment was at 20% in the United States. Mm-hmm. They went through the beginning of the World War, the Second World War, and after that, of course, the effects of the World War. And then we've had subsequent things, the 60s, and all that entailed, and then all the way up through 2007. And they've seen that kids have become less and less able to cope with change and circumstance and trauma. And when people have looked at the data and asked the question, why are kids today less resilient than they were in those very trying and traumatic times? Anybody have any ideas?
Me.
Okay, what, Jill?
There's a lot more to be anxious about. I mean, back in the 30s and the 40s, your career choice was a handful of options. You know, survival, get a good job, you know, raise your family, that kind of thing. Anymore, look at the pressure that's put on our kids right here in our own building, and we're a pretty easygoing group. What are you going to do after high school? Well, they're still just trying to get through high school. What are you going to do for post-secondary? The rest of your life is going to hinge on this. And there are thousands of options now for them to have to choose what they feel is going to be the right path right now. And it feels like, I mean, the pressure from everyone around them is like, if you don't choose correctly now, you're, you know, all bad things. And it's awful. I cry for these kids sometimes.
So it's interesting because the pressures are those
too many choices.
Yeah, too many choices is a huge piece. But it's kind of interesting because the kids in the 1930s and 40s went through some very traumatic times.
Yes. But they went through it together. And, you know, we all know adversity often, you know, draws people together, and they do amazing things as a group. And survival, it was simply survival. And our kids, I think they don't have that. The majority of our kids, there are kids who do deal with, how will I survive this day? How will I survive this week? But in general, the kids we deal with are, how will I make the right choices that apparently the rest of my life and everything hinges on? So
I wonder if the stress comes from, so I would say resilience is a learned behavior. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come organically. And I wonder if I can hearken back to the watermelon event and the bubble wrap. So I know that's a bit of a stretch, but I wonder if there is too much bubble wrap in children's lives that they don't learn to accept these moments of change and these moments of defeat and learn from them and become and gain some skill in the process. I'm not sure that you can point someone to a child, to a book, and say, if you learn these 6 steps, you will be resilient. I think for me, at 60, there are still moments that I have to learn new skills in a world that is way different than what I had. I think the children of the 30s had greater responsibilities, or different responsibilities, maybe that's a better way. Mm-hmm. Different responsibilities. They early became part of the family income and the family workload, and they were expected to carry part of the load for the family. I mean, imagine how many of those children that in 1938, as they followed them for a period of 4 or 5 years, would have been single family homes, mm-hmm. with a mother working, father at war, mother working,
mm-hmm.
In a whole different time when you couldn't go to the grocery store and buy what you needed. That was more hand to mouth. But I think they learned to cope. Mm-hmm. Maybe I wonder if that's part of what we can be doing.
Well, I know one of the things that has come out of some of this work is the fact that parents today feel that they need to protect their children from all forms of trauma. But trauma has changed in its definition. So now, if your butterfly dies, that's trauma. If you aren't invited to a birthday party, that's trauma. If you don't achieve the mark you were aiming for in a class, that's trauma. Yes. If you all don't win at soccer, that's trauma.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
and we've seen these families.
Right. And so I think, though, that parents are confusing everyday struggle with traumatic events.
Yes.
And so we are attempting to protect our children from everything instead of teaching them to cope with normal everyday life.
Yeah.
So I think there's a variety of factors.
Yeah.
And that's some of the stuff that we're going to be exploring in our workshop this evening. So if you are interested, please feel free to join us. Although chances are by the time I get this podcast out, we will be reporting on how it was.
Yeah. So we'll get back to you.
That's it. Okay, well, I think that basically wraps it up for this week. Do we have anything else, Jill? Okay, then we're going to put Bob on the spot.
Oh, good.
All right. So, Bob, at the end of every podcast, we take a moment to wish our people a week, a kind of week. So what kind of week would you like to wish our listeners?
I always begin by saying, make this week remarkable.
Remarkable.
Make it remarkable. Something that you would remark about, something that you would remember. And I think that's a decision that you get to make. It's a choice that you get to make. The week can be mediocre if that's what you choose to let it to be. But if you choose to make the week remarkable, it will be. So I would say make this week remarkable.
Excellent. And you have a blog post that is by that similar kind of name?
Yeah. I have a company called Remarkable People that posts daily. And I'm now at a daily 200 and some, 206, 207 postings. Makeityourproblem.com. If you're interested in hearing more of the rants that you heard today, you can pick it up there.
Nice.
So thank you very much, Bob. We appreciate your insight and information into our podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Diana Stint.
And Jill Mann.
And we are wishing you a remarkable week.